This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Blueberry Convo by Design studio in Columbus, Ohio. The lead stories are Huawei sues the FCC to stop ban on their sales. Cell phone-related head injuries are through the chart. FCC has found out that carriers, mobile carriers, lie about rural coverage 40% of the time. Why does the iPhone 11 check your location on a regular basis, even when you have it turned off? The story is in the details tonight. I want to welcome you to episode 1410 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, December 5th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners like you. You can find great deals from GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Tonight, we're not live, audio only, but I want to welcome all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, you can subscribe to the show. It's real easy. Right on the right-hand column of the website, we've got it set up for you. Whether it be Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, don't worry. You can subscribe to the show on Spotify and TuneIn. You can even listen on your smart home device. But get subscribed to the show and subscribe to the newsletter when you're on the website. You can also listen on blueberry.com. And when you want to use that smart home device, all you have to do is say the keyword, play the podcast, Geek News Central. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack or now on Discord. The Discord link is in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, you can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter at Geek News. You can follow me on Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. It includes GNC Week in Review by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site being written by my writing team, The New Media Show, which is co-hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and of course, The Podcast Legend Show, which is pretty much pod-faded. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, this show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of podcasts, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can save major money by going over and using my 30% discount code or picking up a new domain for 99 cents. You can get a shared or managed hosting account, whether it be WordPress or whatever you want to run on it. It's a great opportunity to get online for just $1 a month for the first year. And each of those offers includes a free domain name. So here's the beauty about this. If you're buying a domain name, and why don't you just go ahead and buy a web hosting site to go along with it? Because you're going to get the domain name for free. So go ahead and pick up a hosting account. You may not use it right away, but you know, for $12 for the first year, you're in there like Flint. If you want it, basically buy that domain, you have a thought process, wow, I'm going to start a website, don't buy just the domain, buy the hosting account. And again, it's going to cost you $12 for the first year to get started, but doesn't mean you have to launch it tomorrow. You can go a couple of weeks, a month, and get started later. So that's a great opportunity for you to pick up a website with every single domain name that you buy. If you decide at some point you don't want to do anything with the domain name, you don't want to launch the website, really it's just $12 in, right? Of course, if you want to build something, then the website will renew. Make sure you take a look at what the price is going to be when it renews as you come out of your first year. But again, you get started for $12. You can't do anything today. You can't even buy a latte for $12, it seems like, when you go into Starbucks or another location like that. So we want you to pick up GoDaddy products and services. You do that by saving lots of money with my promo codes. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy makes the perfect Christmas gift. Give the gift of a website. Give the gift of a domain name. You got kids. They don't have an online presence. Well, think about securing a domain name for them. I've got all my kids' domain names when they were first born. I didn't get every exact one that I wanted, but I have those on tap for them they can use if they so desire at any time. Get it locked in today. So again, get over to geekniscentral.com/GoDaddy. See all the deals there. 30% discount, $0.99.com. The two hosting offers, one being a WordPress managed site. Again, first year is $12. And then with a free domain name, of course, there's a website builder too for those of you that are business owners. You get a 30-day free trial on that. Again, at geekniscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. If you're not in the market for any type of online services, you can help this show a great deal by telling your friends about my promo codes, sharing a link to the website so that basically put on your Twitter, put on your social. It's a great opportunity to help promote the show at the same time by supporting my sponsor by doing just that, linking to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and driving people over there for me. It's just like an in-kind donation, and we definitely appreciate it. So I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. Well, I had a pretty standard work week. What got down to Columbus on Tuesday. Had a pretty busy day. You know, it was just coming off the holiday. It seems like we were slammed the first 2 days. Wednesday, we had a Christmas party for the Columbus podcaster group. They had a meetup. Actually, that was Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, I was staying at a Residence Inn, and they have free, kind of like light food. And I went to the hotel, grabbed a plate of food, ate it. By about 10 o'clock, man, something wasn't right. So from about 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. yesterday evening, I was not in good shape. I got a very light case of food poisoning, and holy smokes, it was, how should I say it? I was coming out of both ends. It was like an exorcist puking everywhere. It was horrible. And so I got I slept in a little bit later, got into the office at 9 instead of 7:38, it was just one of those days where you just catch a little bit of food poisoning. It was bad. So anyway, here in Columbus through the end of the day tomorrow, then we'll have the new media show this week. Will be the Digital Hollywood Live event. Next week, Monday and Thursday show will be from a remote location. I'm having high-level meetings. I'm not able to disclose where I'm going to be, because if I do, then people are going to know where I'm at. So anyway, that's kind of, they may know who I'm talking to. So that probably is advisable. I just have to keep that on the down low. But more travel next week. And then we'll have... Rob's going to be out of town, so we'll have the new media show the following week on the 14th, but I'll be in Michigan for the Monday show, and then be in Columbus for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday of the 20th, we have our Christmas party, and then we get right into the holiday period. So anyway, we'll just continue the shows. We'll have two shows next week as planned. But anyway, that's what's going on with the schedule. All right, so first article up tonight, we're going to talk about Huawei suing the FCC to stop the ban on Huawei's gear in U.S.-funded networks. And they're not happy. So they're asking court, the Fifth Circuit, to order the FCC to allow them their due process to start selling gear again in the United States. So I don't know if that's going to be possible. Because of the reasoning and with the U.S. Constitution and Administrative Protection Act and other laws, I don't know if they're going to be able to get this overturned, but they are definitely going to court. And of course, they picked the Fifth Circuit. It's kind of funny that they picked that particular court. But, they're saying that Huawei saying that these politicians ignore an important fact that Huawei's been working with rural U.S. carriers for many years, and our customers trust our equipment, Huawei Chief Legal Officer Song Lipong said. And so we've hurt them pretty bad in this, you know, we probably hurt the rural carriers, but at the same time, we're definitely, I understand the reasoning here. And some Huawei's outside counsel argued that the Huawei ZTE ban exceeds the FCC statutory authority because nothing in the universal service provisions of the Communications Act authorizes the commission to make national security judgments or restrict use of USF funds based on such judgments. So we will see wherever this leads. But this is going to be a hot button one. We'll be following it and see where it lands before it's all over. Now, this probably doesn't come as a surprise, but cell phone-related head injuries have become more common after the iPhone was released. And starting back in 2007, they started, 19, what year did they start measuring? Between 98 and 2017, over 2,500 cases of cell phone-related injuries were reported, most of them where people fell and instead of taking their hand away from their face, they fell on their cell phone or something to that effect and scratched their face or dug their face. And but they're saying that kids under the age of 13 were far more likely to suffer direct injuries, and they accounted for 82% of the injuries to that group, while older adults above the age of 50 were more at risk of associated injuries. So tripping and all kinds of things that happen because of their phone, and getting slammed in the face by a phone is objectively not great, and people should be alarmed, but it should be noted that most of the injuries were not very serious. 95% of the people reported injuries were either treated in an emergency department and immediately sent home or sent home without treatment, and 76,000 estimated injuries break down to about 4,000 per year, which is less than half the number of children who go to emergency room with burns from instant soups each year. So study only included head and neck injuries and no injuries to other parts of the body. So we'll see here. But if you trip and you have your cell phone in your hand, let the thing go. You know, no need to get smashed in the face, but people were more willing to protect their cell phone in their face, I guess. So it's kind of funny. Hey, the FCC carriers, apparently they're lying about rural coverage 40% of the time. Mobile data coverage is better than it has been in years past, but after testing LTE data across rural America, basically what they found out, the FCC has found out, that Verizon, T-Mobile, and U.S. Cellular were lying about their coverage about 40% of the time. And of course, if you're hoping carriers would face some consequences for this, you know, I think it would just be prepared to be disappointed here. So the FCC received numerous complaints about coverage, but the volume of complaints about rural coverage from the aforementioned carriers really spurred the agency to investigate. And the FCC staff ended up driving more than 10,000 miles around rural America with a Galaxy S9 smartphone running continuous speed test. They also conducted stationary speed tests at various locations in search of the minimum 5 megs per second download speed. And according to the report, the investigators were only able to get the required speed 62.3% of the time. T-Mobile hit the mark 63.2% of the test, and Verizon was slightly higher at 64.3%. U.S. Cellular, on the other hand, only hit 5 megs 45% of the time. And there was no LTE signal available in 38 of the test locations for U.S. Cellular, T-Mobile. And, of course, T-Mobile had dead spots covering 21.3% of the drive, and Verizon had no bars 16.2% of the drive. Even in stationary tests, about half the tests failed to reach the required speeds. So, you know, they're just all the mobile carriers are doing is they put a tower up, they look at terrain and say, well, this is where you should have signal, not where it truly really is. So I'm not surprised here that the results were much lower than the carriers say they can do, because I'm a classic example here, living in rural America now. It sucks. Mobile, the mobile just sucks. It really, really does. All right, we talked about this story some time ago about the iPhone 11 and checking your location even when you have location tracking turned off. And security researcher Brian Krebs had raised eyebrows when he discovered the iPhone 11 Pro, and by extension, the iPhone 11, was constantly checking the location, even, again, if you disable location services. Now, there's been a statement by Apple. Apple told TechCrunch in a statement that its newer iPhones need to perform location checks to legally use ultra-wideband chips. International regulatory requirements force Apple to turn off UWB in certain places, and the location checks are necessary to do that while making the technology available most of the time. The company stressed that the UWB-related checks are handled entirely on the device, and that Apple isn't collecting location data. It's promising a dedicated toggle for UWB in the future, so you can shut that off so it doesn't do this location checking. This claim, or this announcement, lines up with developer Will Strafach's determination that the location activity doesn't leave the phone, and suggests there's no reason to be concerned about the behavior. I'm still, myself, is, okay, they have to shut that off. That means internally in the phone, they've got some sort of mapping data for exclusion areas. It is kind of interesting, isn't it? So, the company initially declined to comment on the location finding and doesn't clearly tell users that these location checks will still happen. So, there we go. There's a bit of the explanation. Hey, today, SpaceX sent the Dragon soaring to the International Space Station. It was on its second attempt. So Falcon 9 launched from Florida, delivering its spacecraft to orbit. The first stage then made a safe landing on a drone ship out in the Atlantic Ocean. The company's webcast ended without any coverage of the second stage, 6-hour coast, to demonstrate the capability for an unnamed customer. And this was the 10th Falcon 9 launch of 2019. Overall, the rocket has now launched 76 times. Sometimes in 2020, among rockets in active services, the Falcon 9 will certainly become the U.S. booster with the most launch experience, surpassing the Atlas V. That rocket has launched 80 times, with one more mission scheduled later this month. So, of course, Wednesday, poor weather scrubbed the first attempt. So, good job on SpaceX. And if you want to watch the launch, you can do so via the link that's in the show notes. It'll be up on the webpage at geeknewscentral.com. Homeland Security. This is interesting. They do not want to don't want Americans' faces scanned at all at airports. Well, this is partially true. You know, we've talked about this, that Homeland Security wanted to scan the faces of travelers, including U.S. citizens, as they enter or leave the country. Naturally, critics raised concerns that the practice would violate citizens' privacy and that the intrusive surveillance technology could lead to abuses of power. Now, you're already, if you're traveling internationally, you're scanning your passport. They know you're going out of the country. And when you arrive, they know you're coming back into the country. So it's not like you can enter or leave the country without really the government knowing. But in a statement provided to Engadget, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol said that using a biometric facial comparison technology to facilitate the entry and exit of international travelers by meeting the congressional mandate to implement biometric entry-exit systems, U.S. citizens are out of scope of the mandated biometric entry-exit program. However, U.S. citizens are required to establish identity and citizenship to CBP and present a valid passport for international travel. But they said that U.S. citizens will be able to voluntarily participate in the program, and you can opt out. Now, CBP did consider including U.S. citizens in its facial recognition check to avoid the challenges having separate processes for foreign nationals and U.S. citizens. Upon consultation with Congress and privacy experts, CBP determined that the best course of action is to continue to allow U.S. citizens to voluntarily participate in biometric entry. And I have global entry. And global entry makes it very easy to get back in the country. And you have to provide biometric data. But it beats standing in line. It really, really does. All right. A new emotionally intelligent robot, the Simon 2, is headed to the space station. This is the second version of this robot. The astronaut assistant known as Simon 2 just launched for the orbiting lab aboard SpaceX today, and it's following the footsteps of the original Simon, and it's really the Crew Interactive Mobile Companion, which reached the ISS in the summer of 2018. These are been designed by the European aerospace company Airbus on behalf of the German space agency. And they have some new features, new voice analyzers. It's using the Watson Tone Analyzer from IBM Cloud. And with this update, they say Simon is transformed from a scientific assistant to an empathetic conversational partner. IBM representatives wrote in a statement, specifically Simon 2 has more sensitive microphones and advanced sense of orientation. These AI capabilities and the stability of the complex software applications have also been significantly improved in Simon 2. So we'll see what happens here. And there's a cool video about it. Link will be, of course, again, available in the show notes. Facebook said a Chinese company compromised users with malware and then ran ads using their accounts. And they allegedly used the accounts to run ads that often misuse images of celebrities to sell counterfeit goods and diet pills. So they're suing this Hong Kong-based company and two Chinese citizens. It says use malware, again, to compromise user accounts. The company filed the federal lawsuit Thursday in California against I Like Ad Media, and it named the two people that were being prosecuted. And Facebook's director of product management for business integrity told BuzzFeed, the lawsuit is a way to create consequences for those folks outside of shutting down their ad account and preventing them from using the platform. He says this scheme has affected folks in multiple countries and something we began investigating late 2018. And this follows a similar suit and legal actions that were done against another app maker earlier this year. So there's a blog post about it and some reports from CNET. So they're going after these people that are doing stuff they shouldn't be. Speaking of going after people, the United States put a $5 million bounty on Russian hacking group Evil Corp, specifically their leader. It's the largest reward ever offered by a cyber criminal by the U.S. government. Now, I guess this guy's probably going to be pretty safe if he stays in Russia, but the U.S. and U.K. announced charges Thursday against the Russian hacking group Evil Corp. Again, alleging the organization was behind two of the worst computer hacking and bank fraud schemes in the past decade. So this started back as far as May 2009 and still ongoing. According to the U.S. Department of Justice and U.K.'s National Crime Agency, the two governments announced the charges of conspiracy, computer hacking, wire fraud, and bank fraud. And so among the charges, the U.S. Department and FBI announced, again, this $5 million reward. What else? Evil Corp is accused of creating the banking malware Drydex, sometimes known as Bugget or Crydex. The malware is designed to automatically steal financial and personal information and computer effects, specifically targeting online banking credentials. So this hack has hit several businesses and banks. How much money did they lose? The malware attempted to steal $220 million from its victims and successfully stole $70 million from people's bank accounts. So I doubt he's going to stay in Russia with that kind of money and not go anywhere. All right, a little space news. NASA has grabbed some unexpected close-up views of asteroid Bennu spewing debris. And if you remember, the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft is basically in trail of this particular asteroid, and they've been catching periodic glimpses of space stuff being ejected from the asteroid, which is very rare for this type of an asteroid. So they're pretty excited about this. Now, the particles are very small, a couple of centimeters at most. So it's pretty cool they've been able to capture this. They say that some of the debris that was ejected, however it happened, succumbed to the gravity of the asteroid and fell back to the surface, which is interesting. But anyway, link will be up and you can check out the images. And pretty cool. Five new iPhones are coming in 2020, according to an analyst report. So Apple's traditionally released three iPhones a year, but that appears set to change in 2020. And they're saying we can expect up to five new phones, starting with one new phone in the first half. This report comes from 9to5 Mac and a notable analyst, Ming-Chu Koo, who has an impressive track record when it comes to reporting on Apple's future plans. And also it's being told that one of the phones will have no lightning port on it. It'll be completely wireless. So I don't know what to think about that particular statement. How are you going to actually charge that phone when you're traveling and stuff? You're going to have a wireless charger with you. It's kind of stupid, to be honest with you. All right, CNET is talking about a cool OLED Star Wars Coke bottle. And sadly, these are only available in Singapore. But Coca-Cola Singapore basically put lightsabers, they put basically embedded an OLED screen on a Coke bottle, and gets the lightsaber will light up about 500 times. You have to press the side of the Coke bottle to get it to light up. And they only made 8,000 bottles, and you have to go through some hoops to get one. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people trying to figure out how to get one of these. But these are available until December 22nd. If you know someone in Singapore that can score you one, that is the only way you're going to get one. But they are pretty cool. All right, so how many of you have more than one credit card that is a reward card? So if you have a few different reward cards, it can be tough to keep track of which cards give you the best benefits. So there's a couple apps for that. One is called Max Reward. Another is called Birch. Another one's called Maxi View. So if you have more than one rewards card, I don't know exactly how these work. I guess you have to link the accounts. Has the ability to track what type of rewards you've earned with those. I have never used the YouTube Music app, but apparently it finally gets gapless music playback. So basically, if you're listening to an LP, you're not going to be having what they've termed was annoying skipping or pausing sound between songs on the YouTube Music app. So there's been an update there. Didn't know that was a problem, but according to the article, it was. All right, over on Geek News Central, Andrew wrote a great article about a device called the Pacum, P-A-C-U-M. It's a vacuum. It's a mini vacuum. It's designed to basically help you travel with tightening your load down. You know, budget airlines have revolutionized air travel, but you know, you really have to pack tight, or you're going to rack up a whole bunch of charges for luggage. So what this does is you put your clothes in a plastic bag, it sucks it down tight, makes it smaller, may fit on a carry-on versus having to go into the hold of the aircraft, where you have to often pay. So this is pretty slick little device. Even if you're not using it for travel, I'm really thinking this is good. It's called the MasterSpace Pacum Travel Vacuum Compressor. And again, it's a personal vacuum packer. A lot of folks use these on other devices, obviously. You have big commercial ones that people use in their home. And it's on sale for US$60 or 46 pounds, and it comes with a set of five vacuum bags as well. So overall, the Pacum is a really nice gadget, and Andrew has a full review and video, so definitely check that out at Geek News Central. Andrew is one of our longtime writers at Geek News Central, who's been writing for us for 10 years. Ever have a password that you have set up to autofill, and it's the wrong one, and it's just driving you crazy? Well, you know that when you're logging into a website, there is a way to reveal that password when it's not being shown to you. There's some little tricks to work around that. Oftentimes, it's a right click or control click on the password box to inspect the element, and that will often open it up so you can see it. So if you run into that problem, I know that I do from time to time, stuff gets out of sync, you can definitely check out what password's trying to be used and correct it. Lyft was sued in Los Angeles over alleged sexual assault by a driver. It's the latest of dozens of lawsuits brought against a ride-hailing company over alleged groping, kidnapping, and rape. 20 women joined together in a sexual assault lawsuit against Lyft, and all the women in these legal actions allege they were sexually assaulted by Lyft drivers. In situations range from groping to kidnapping to rape, at least 56 lawsuits involving these sorts of allegations have now been filed against a ride-hailing company since August. And again, this was in the Los Angeles Superior Court, and again was brought on behalf of a 23-year-old woman. She can't drive and walk and has a severe limp because of several brain surgeries, and she was taken advantage of. So she's part of a bigger suit with other women. So this is concerning. It really, really is. So ladies, if you're taking Lyft and Uber, keep that mace and pepper spray handy. Or make sure you request a woman driver, which you can do on most of these apps. Waymo has launched an iOS app as it reflects on its first years of its robot taxi service. It's done 100,000 trips since 2017. Of course, it's working in suburban Phoenix, Arizona. And Waymo app has been available to download from the Google Play Store since April of 2019, but now there is an iOS app available. Again, these are fully driverless rides, but you're going to be very hard to get whitelisted for the service. So you may not be cruising along. They're very selective on which riders they're going to allow into the service, but we'll see where this leads. And again, it's still a lot of testing going on. Google Fiber, we thought that got shut down, right? Google Fiber is only offering its gigabit plan to new customers. So it's been phasing out its lower price 100 meg plans, opting only the core gigabit speeds to new users. Google announced a decision yesterday saying customers had caught onto our early vision with super fast internet. The 100 meg option costs $50 a month, while the 1,000 megabyte alternative actually doesn't cost much more. It's priced at $70 with no data cap. And that's awesome. So what cities? Now, fiber service is currently available in parts of 18 metro areas. Atlanta, Georgia, Austin, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Denver, Colorado, Huntsville, Alabama, Kansas City, Missouri, Miami, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, Oakland, California, Orange County, California, Provo, Utah, San Antonio, Texas, San Diego, California, San Francisco, California, Salt Lake City, Utah, Seattle, Washington, and the Triangle, North Carolina. Hey, Google, how about Coldwater, Michigan? You may have not known this, but last year's YouTube Rewind was really a disaster for YouTube, and it was the most downvoted video ever. And so YouTube has done some hardcore looking at the Rewind 2019, and the video is split into charts of top creators, videos, music video, dance videos, most popular video games, and top beauty videos, plus emerging creators and popular creators to go along with the video. YouTube also released statistics about the most watched content of the year, and they're trying to showcase exactly what was popular on the platform and will help avoid the embarrassment of last year. So it's available for you to check out. I haven't watched it, but I plan on doing that. Again, Apple may ditch the Lightning port on a 2021 iPhone. Oh, not a 2021. So I won't go into that detail, but I think that's a very, very bad move. Another story on Instagram, this time written by Jen, one of our longtime writers. Instagram has announced an update that requires new users to provide date of their birth in order to make an Instagram account. So the purpose of this update is to make Instagram safer for the youngest members of the community. Well, they have to have COPPA. COPPA is a new thing that basically is coming into effect January 1st. You're not allowed to target, measure, advertise against anyone that's under 13. So they're going to have to be looking at the age of its users to make sure that they're complying. YouTube just came out with a big change. It's going to cause a lot of folks' content to be demonetized, deplatformed, because now every YouTube creator has to say whether the video was specifically designed for children or not. So, lots of change over at YouTube. And once again, some of this just crosses over. Instagram, again, requiring birth dates for new users. I wonder what they're going to do for the existing users. Have a Hulu account? Well, Hulu's going to no longer let you use your Facebook account as a login options. So Hulu customers will now have to use their email and password to log in. No more cross logins. Engadget is reporting, talking about Spotify. And Spotify Wrapped showcases your top tracks of 2019 and the past decade. It also talks about stuff that happened in the podcasting space on Spotify as well. Is there anyone in this show that's listening to the show that's using Spotify? I know there's a few of you. I see the stats. How do you like listening to the show on Spotify? Love to hear your comments. geeknews@gmail.com. All right, ransomware froze more cities in 2019. Next year is going to be a toss-up. More than 70 state and local governments across the U.S. suffered ransomware attacks in 2019. So that's crazy if you think about that. And of course, there is, some of the jurisdictions are paying up, some are not, some are have completely lost data, but it's been pretty bad for municipalities, and they didn't have a good cybersecurity setup. Moving on, PlayStation 5 pre-order landing pages are popping up at retailers. So, of course, we're heading into the new year, and that means more information about the upcoming PlayStation 5 is imminent. There's still a lot of unknowns, like its price, but retailers are getting ahead of the curve. Several online storefronts like Best Buy now have PlayStation 5 landing pages where you can enter your email and sign up to be notified when pre-orders go live. When is that expected? Does it say? It doesn't. So judging by previous years, you probably won't need to wait until E3 to find out more, but who knows? That's something I do not have is any gaming stations. Mozilla is really in trouble. In 2018, revenue fell 20%. Expenses exceeded income for the first time. So this is bad. The nonprofit behind Firefox implied that the apparent downturn was misleading because of the comparison to record revenue of the year before. They said 2017 was an outlier due in part to changes to the search revenue deal that we negotiated last year. Mozilla has asserted that the revenue decline would not affect its work despite year-over-year challenges. Mozilla remains in a strong financial position with cash reserves supported to support continued innovation. And of course, search deals remain Firefox's financial lifeline. Most of the $451 million in revenue to the Mozilla Foundation came from royalty payments from search deals. So, interesting. But anyway, there's a whole list of information about how they make their revenue. Also, do you have a MacBook, iMac, or Mac Pro, or Mac Mini that is getting ready to go bye-bye? You want to sell it? Well, if you have an older Mac computer, wiping the hard drive to prep its sale is simple. But newer models, including the iMac Pro, the 2008 Mac Mini, and MacBook Pro, the process of fully resetting them is more involved. That's because of Apple's new T2 security chip, which adds activation lock, another layer of security that makes things harder for thieves. That's great and all, but if you forget to disarm the feature that utilizes a T2 chip before you ship your computer to a user, it'll make things harder for you. So they've got some steps on how to turn that off and things that you need to know before you strip your Mac that you may be selling. Some great tips on better iPhone battery life. It's available from Computer World. I have that link up in the show notes. And also, there's some testing that's just resulted in from Wi-Fi 6. Basically, some Wi-Fi 6 tests where they have they've hit 700 megs in a real-world download test. Well, you have to have a connection that can support that. First of all, my connection's only 12, 13 down if I'm lucky. But the long-awaited future of super fast wireless is here. the Wireband Alliance, claiming speeds of 700 megs in a real-world environment using the Wi-Fi 6 standard. And this is not a normal 2.4 or 5G Wi-Fi here. This is a 60 gigahertz Wi-Fi. And again, it's going to be heavily affected by walls, and you'd definitely be seeing some speed impacts if you have a house that's already impacted in the 2.4 gigahertz range. Pantone color of the year? Well, it's classic blue. So it's kind of funny. In contrast to last year's Living Coral, Pantone's color of the year for 2020 has been announced. Officially known as Pantone 19-4052, the color is suggestive of the sky at dusk. The reassuring qualities of the thought-provoking Pantone 19-4052 classic blue highlight our desire for a dependable and stable foundation from which to build as we cross the threshold into a new era. Well, that's kind of fancy. Anyway, classic blue is the color of the year. Snap has teamed up with Gucci on limited edition 3D specs. So how much are these going to cost? Snap is going out to promote its Spectacle 3 AR glasses with a Gucci fashion collaboration. Doesn't say how much they're going to cost, but if it's Gucci, it's going to be Gucci expensive. Any of you still using any Snap glasses? I have some somewhere. Nintendo sold over 800,000 Switch units over the Thanksgiving weekend. Boy, oh boy, that was popular. It must have been some good Black Friday sales, but that was U.S. numbers alone. That brings the total number of Switches sold in the U.S. so far to 17.5 million units, so which is good. So 800,000 units over the weekend. Amazing. Finally, an official Craigslist app has launched. It took 11 years. You know, Craigslist was one of those places where you had to go back on the web. But now we can actually use an actual Craigslist official app. Now, there are a couple unofficial apps out there, but Craigslist has their own official one available. Link will be up in the show notes. Now, Uber Gizmo's reporting that there are supposed security browser extensions which have actually been snooping on us. Company likes AVS and AVG are probably known to users as being the developers of security-based software like antiviruses. However, it seems the browser extensions that these companies made have been accused of snooping on users who have installed their extensions. These extensions include AVCast Online Security, AVG Online Security, AVS Safe Price, and AVG Safe Price. The former two extensions are supposed to warn users when they visit websites known to be suspect, while the later two are designed for online shopping. They were exposed by Waldemar Plant, where he noticed the amount of data collected by these extensions were more than necessary appropriate. And so far, Google has yet to respond. So they're still available, but if you have these extensions on your devices, you may want to reconsider. The Federal Trade Commission has reportedly opened a probe into Amazon's cloud business. So expanding the scopes of Amazon probe to include cloud business. In addition to looking at the company's e-commerce business, investigators reportedly started asking the software companies. Amazon is trying to figure out if it's been harming competition or violating any antitrust laws. Amazon Web Services has been fighting most of the company's operating income over the past 4 years. But I tell you, we're big on AWS. We really are over at Raw Voice Blueberry. So we'll see where they go. Is it just they have so many features. It just, there's no one that really can compare that has the integration to that level. And so they're competing on their, you know, they're doing it because they're innovating. Now, how pissed off would you have to be to call your mobile carrier 24,000 times? A 71-year-old man in Japan, it seems that there is nothing his carrier could do to make him happy. He made 24,000 toll-free calls to KDDI, where he can frequently complain about their service. In fact, those were calls were made so frequently the 70-year-old was ultimately arrested by the Japanese police for fraudulent obstruction of business. According to the carrier, some of these calls would involve him calling and hanging up as soon as someone picked up the phone. According to the man, he claimed KDDI had allegedly violated his contract when he could not phone into a radio show using a number the station provided, as he wanted the company to send its staff to see him and apologize for breaking the terms of the service contract. The calls were said to be made starting back in May of 2017. The 71-year-old could be sentenced up to 3 years in prison. Why not just cancel his service? Future Apple Watch may be able to track Parkinson's disease. So that's awesome. We'll see what happens. There's a new patent where it describes how the Apple Watch could use motion sensors to detect movement, and then that movement is further analyzed on the device itself using the Unified Parkinson's Disease Rating Scale. So interesting that once again, the Apple Watch is making progress in tracking stuff. All right, GM and LG have teamed up to build EV batteries in the United States. In a call today with reporters, GM announced the company would be teaming up. And overall, the company is expecting to have 20 electric vehicles for sale by 2023. The joint venture will break ground in a plant in Lordstown, Ohio, and expected to bring 1,100 new jobs. And the plant will produce more than 30 gigawatt hours per year. So we'll see where that goes. All right, I did have an email that I failed to read that came in from Andrew. Let me go dig this out. GNC comments. And there's Andrew. Let's see here. He said, Todd. And he sent this 2 weeks ago, and I apologize. He said, a little antidote to the follow-up from the OK Boomer discussion. My team has a wide range of ages of people from close to retirement to interns fresh from college. We were discussing an event from 1972, and one of the old hands turned to the intern and said sarcastically, I suppose you weren't even born in 1972. His great response, my parents weren't even born in 1972. Regards, Andrews. That's kind of funny. It really is. So someone getting ready to retire, and he says, I bet you weren't even born in 72. And the kid replies back, my parents weren't even born in 72. So it makes you laugh, right? Okay, so Andrew, thanks for sending that in. And if anybody else has any comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send it. A lot of content tonight. A lot of stuff I went through fast. Not a lot of heavy dialogue tonight. I hope that was okay. But as always, we thank you for your ongoing support of the show. For those of you that have become insiders, we definitely appreciate it. I tell you what, it is time for you to step up and become an insider. If you're not one already, we hope that you will consider the value for value that this program provides, starting at $2 a month, all the way up to as much as you would like. But again, 6.7 cents a day is the minimum support level of this show. And I've always said that if we could get everyone in here or at a $5 or $10 level, the amazing things we could do, additional amazing things we could do with this show. So I hope that you'll consider doing a one-year sign-up for support of this show at the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 level. Come in at five a month. That's $60 a year to support this show. And, that's one less coffee a month just to support the show. Or if you're at the $2 level, come on, that's a candy bar from the vending machine. So we appreciate you when you support us, and all the insiders that are already contributing to the show, we thank you so very much. Again, it's been my pleasure bringing the podcast to you tonight. We'll be back with you on Monday. Thanks for everyone for being here. Thanks for Kirk for doing the show prep and being the executive producer here. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast at geeknewscentral.com.